Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the biggest night of the title race so far. Hearts put the pressure on with a late Derby winner over Hibs at Tynecastle last night. It's now over to Celtic and Rangers, with Danny Rowe's men hoping to get the better of Motherwell, who barely lose or even concede at Fir Park. Will Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain make his Celtic debut as they take on Marvin Bartley's Livingston? Elsewhere, Kilmarnock hosts St Mirren and Falkirk take on Dundee. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Tony Watt and Alex Ray. I think we are in for some evening, Alex,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And Hearts extend their lead to 6 points last night. Last minute winner. Tremendous, absolutely tremendous. Great drama, and what a way to finish the game. And just piles of pressure on Rangers and Celtic tonight, but also at the bottom of the table, you know, you've got Kilmarnock and St Mirren as well. So plenty of football tonight.
Yeah, last night's game, the result has huge effects tonight, Tony, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's watching it. 85 minutes in, probably thought a draw was going to happen, and it suited both Celtic and Rangers, and it would have made it a really, really, really tight title race at this point. A lot to play for tonight, though. Rangers going to Motherwell, who are probably the biggest overachievers this season, probably playing the best football in the league. Without over-exaggerating, they've probably got the best style of football in the league. Rangers looked a lot better at the weekend, big, physical, strong, direct. And then, obviously, Celtic v Livi, you're expecting Celtic to go and win, but you never know with this season. You just never know. You'd expect a Celtic comfortable win, but anything can happen.
0141 951 1025. What a night of action we are in for in the Scottish Premiership. 4 games, should have been 5, but Dundee United against Aberdeen has been called off. But Rangers are visiting Fir Park up against Motherwell. I think many people would say that is the tie of the evening, Alex, isn't it?
Yeah, without doubt. But I think Tony's right there. When you look at the style of play that Motherwell adopt, it's very impressive. They fear no one, particularly at home as well. They have plenty of clean sheets to their name, score plenty of goals. So, you know, Rangers will have to be bang at it tonight if they're going to get 3 points on the road.
And that's it. Everyone's competing for that big prize at the end of the season. But Tony, is there a bigger prize than the Scottish Championship Player of the Month for January? Because not only have you won it, you've brought it with you. Well, you've got it sitting in front of you. Come on,
well,
let's see it.
I feel a part of the guys now, so I thought I'd need to bring it. Well, Al told me, to be honest. We got it announced a day early, so I could bring it in.
There we go.
So I've been doing my research, and I've also been doing my graph for coming on the show.
So there we go. And now we're going to make him, if he's playing Beat the Pundit, he has to put it on the line. So maybe someone's going to win his Player of the Month award. That's not actually going to happen. You'll have that unlocking key, won't you?
I can't explain to you. Obviously, I prepare for the games every week. I shouldn't be saying this in front of Al, but I think I prepare harder for Beat the Pundit at the moment. It's something I just don't want to lose at.
0141. What are you making of that? Is that a worrying sign for you?
It's very worrying because I put no effort into that one.
0141 951 1025. As always, on a night like this, we want to hear from you. If you're going along to the games, this is the perfect time to get in touch. All the usual questions: who should start for your team tonight? A lot of new signings out there as well. So Rangers fans, how many of those 4 new signings should be in from the start tonight? Celtic fans, are you going to see the first of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain tonight? Interested to see. Want to hear from you, Motherwell fans, as well. What about Kilmarnock against St Mirren? That is a massive game at the bottom as well. So get your calls in right now, 0141 951 1025. And before we hear from you, we're going to go around the grounds. Of course, we will touch on that Edinburgh derby last night. Maybe not a classic in terms of quality, but late, late drama. We'll hear what Dennett McInnes had to say on that one as well. 0141 951 1025. Let's go to Celtic Park, shall we? That one has a 7:45 kickoff. So let's hear from Gabriel Antoniazzi giving us the build-up to that one.
Yeah, good evening, Andrew, from a very chilly Celtic Park. against Celtic simply have to win as we get closer to the run-in of this three-way title race. Thomas Magnussen's late strike will have been a sickener yesterday as Hearts secured that dramatic win in the Edinburgh Derby, and everyone inside here will be keeping an eye on events at Fir Park as well. Celtic would love to rack up some goals to boost their goal difference, trailing Hearts and Rangers in that column at the moment, but it won't be straightforward at all, according to manager Martin O'Neill. Spoke to him yesterday, and he said the team aren't good enough to take anyone lightly, not even bottom of the table Livingston. And Olivia, 6 points adrift of Kilmarnock at the bottom. They're winless in 23 league matches, taking them all the way back to August. It's the longest run of any side in the top flight this millennium. They're hoping to earn their first points since our very own Marvin Bartley was promoted to head coach with David Martindale moving upstairs. And it doesn't get any bigger than this. What a test for Bartley and his side. They would snap your hand off for a relegation playoff right now, but it does look very far away. In terms of team news, Conor McLennan and Scott Arfield will miss the game through injury. They've got a small squad already. They're actually linked with free agent Barry McKay through the week. For Celtic, O'Neill said that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain could be involved. That's what most fans will be looking out for, although it will almost certainly be from the bench if he's involved at all. And will we see more of Junior Adamu after his late equaliser at the weekend? Kieran Tierney has a suspected broken nose, but he does want to play, and we expect Dyson Mader, Arne Engels and Kasper Schmeichel back in the starting lineup as well. Team news is at around 6:30.
Well, 141 951 1025, if you've got any thoughts heading into that match. Maybe you're on your way to Celtic Park, get your calls in, and a big one at Fir Park as well. Motherwell against Rangers, Alison McConnell building up to that one.
Yeah, Andrew, how you doing? It's just, it's a bit wet here at Fir Park just now, a bit chilly, and maybe these are the games that just define a title winning campaign for teams. And certainly, as you mentioned, I think this one of the most eagerly awaited clashes of late, with Jens Bertolaskus' free-flowing Motherwell side hosting a Rangers team that go into this one on their uppers. Certainly, I think this is the kind of week that Rangers will look back on in May as perhaps pivotal to their title aspirations. They're in a position now to potentially close this week off at the top of the table. To do that, they need 6 points out of six. They need three here tonight against Motherwell to tee up that fairly mouth-watering clash at Ibrox against Hearts on Sunday afternoon. For a team who were 13 points adrift of the Jambos when Rule took over, it has been an exceptional turnaround. Derek McInnes' side, of course, we all know they got that late dramatic winner last night at Tynecastle in the Derby. They can sit back tonight, they can relax, now knowing that they've passed the baton on. The pressure baton has been handed back to this chasing duel of Rangers and Celtic. And this is a Rangers team who have faced perennial questions over their mental fortitude. Rule himself said only a few weeks ago they would have been fearful about a game like tonight. So how they fare over the next 4 days will show whether or not they really have the stomach for this title fight. For Motherwell, this is a team nursing a grievance from the last times the teams met. Bertolaskus irked at not getting that penalty at Ibrox all the way back in December, incidentally the last time his team lost a game. And Motherwell, they've got the best defensive record in the league. They've been pretty miserly, and never more so than here on home soil at Fir Park. Indeed, they have not shipped a goal here at Fir Park since before Rule was appointed Rangers manager. Scott Arfield in Falkirk colours, the last player to come and score at Fir Park. So I think fair to say that Bertolaskus has been every bit exceptional for Motherwell as Rule has been for Rangers, and all the signs point tonight to a cracking game of football here at Fir Park.
0141 951 1025. We will head back to Celtic Park and to Fir Park to get the team news heading into those matches when we get them. But get your calls in right now. 0141 951 1025. Very different weeks for Celtic and Rangers, Alex, because you look at Celtic's fixtures at home to bottom of the table, Livingston tonight, then away to Kilmarnock, who are sitting in 11th place on Sunday. Two games that, if you are in a title fight, you just need to win. You need to get 6 points from, which you do from every game. But these weeks will flip, and sometimes it will be easier for some teams and tougher for other teams. You then look at Rangers' fixtures tonight, going to Fir Park. As Alison said, Motherwell haven't conceded a goal at Fir Park since Danny Rule was appointed, which is quite incredible. They barely drop points or lose there ever. It's going to be a tough week for Rangers. then with Hearts to build up. So it's going to be an intriguing watch, isn't it?
Yeah, without doubt. And I think one of the things, I was talking to a Rangers fan earlier, and he says he's more fearful of tonight's game than Sunday's game against Hearts. And it just shows you how well they've done it, Motherwell. You know, it's been a remarkable one. And when I actually heard that stat there, it kind of raised my eyebrows. I think you have to go back to October since he conceded. So a massive kind of job on their hands tonight, Rangers, to actually get a result there, because they've been superless at home, and they'll be thinking to themselves, you know, we can really stamp a claim on it as well. You know, Motherwell will be saying to themselves, no fear, playing with plenty of confidence, and they have a style of play they all believe in.
It's all about how the teams handle the different types of pressure games that come to them. Hearts showed last night that they had the bottle for it. Wasn't a classic by any means. It didn't look maybe as if they were going to get that winner. They went on and did it, and they've now put sort of extra pressure on Celtic and Rangers tonight, haven't they?
Yeah, I think you probably need to give Derek McInnes the credit for that, because if you're wanting a manager to nick a game that they weren't expected to win based on how the game was going, not based on anything before the game, I think Derek McInnes is probably your man. I think he's definitely built a core of Scottish, kind of British players that know the league, know how to get the job done in terms of win games, obviously this season, but when they're underdogs. He's obviously not got a lot of people that have won the league, but when you talk about your Halkett's, your Finlay's, your Beningham, he's been around it as
Shanks.
Well, Shankland, he's built a core of boys that they're doing it, plus they've added in obviously this Jamestown stuff. I'm not surprised anymore. I called it a couple of weeks ago and I said I didn't expect Hearts to win the league just because I've not seen it in my lifetime. Now, you wouldn't put...
You changed your mind?
I genuinely put me on the spot. I couldn't answer that at all. I just don't think that... I still think Celtic and Rangers, based on history, being around it, pressure of their fans, probably helps them, but then the first bad result, both sets of fans will turn because there's a third team in the race. And now, if there was only two going at it, Hearts and either one of the Celtic or Rangers, I would be more confident to say Hearts today. But because there's three in the race, I still think it's going to be tough for them. But after last night, they're right up there for me.
0141 951 1025. Let's start with Marty, who is a Hearts fan, on the line. Marty, talk us through your emotions of watching that one last night.
Well, what can I say? As I said, it wasn't the best game, it wasn't the prettiest game. It was, I'd like 0-0 written on it, and it's probably a draw, it'd probably been the fair result. But again, McInnes, he made changes, and big Tom Magnussen came on and like scored an 8th minute winner. Hey, and it was just pure elation, absolute pure elation. You know, so I mean, it's pressure now. You know what I mean? It's pressure on everybody else, but it's also pressure on Hearts for to keep it going. But as I said, the pressure tonight will be at Fir Park for Rangers, where they can handle it, because as you said, they've lost a goal since Danny Rowe took over. It'll be a hard game for them tonight. I think the Celtic game, that'll probably be like maybe 2-3-0 to Celtic, eh? But it's kind of forgetting the nerve jangling time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, how much belief does that result give you last night? Because as you say, it wasn't Hart's best performance of the season by any means, but in a huge pressure game, with the game sort of ticking down, to be able to, you know, go out and get that winner, does that just give you a lot more belief or continued belief that something special could happen this season?
Aye, absolutely. And I see, I think the team got a bit of stick for like hand at Paisley last week. You know, there's a lot of like seeing a lot of negative comments and that and everything, eh? But you can't like define that for one bad game. You know, Paisley's always been like a kind of a bogey place for us to go, but then he seemed to do well there at all. You know, so it was actually okay how it turned out, but it could have been a lot worse. You know, I mean, could have lost more goals. But what Tony said there now, he said that Rangers and Celtic, they've been there before the ground, it's a title running. How many in that Rangers team in the news had a title running? One Tavernier, that's it. All the rest of them were on you guys as well, so can they handle the pressure? The Celtic running, who's been there? They have a title running, very few again. You know what I mean? There's been new bodies in there as well. Can they handle the pressure? It's just a lot of twists and turns for
the going
this.
I would say that Celtic are a bit over the course and distance. I think when you look at their squad of players, Hatate, Engels, McGregor's got more trophies than everyone combined. You know, so I think when you look at that as well, and even behind the scenes, you've got Alistair Johnson, Carter Vickers and so forth. So I think Celtic are well placed for that. But you're absolutely right about the Rangers situation. I don't think they have been over the course and distance. I mean, historically, you know, the fans have been over the course and distance if you're a certain age, but it has been a long time. But I just think they'll be to-ing and fro-ing throughout the course of the next, what, 12 weeks, 13 weeks, whatever it is. I think there'll still be a lot of kind of points dropped and things. And you're getting into these games, and I think this is brilliant, and I think it's great for the game that every single trunk of games, you're going, all right, okay, who are they playing? Is there a possibility? And everybody's looking for people to drop points, and I think it's great. And even down to the bottom as well, it's starting to get really tricky as well. You know, you look at Kilmarnock, St Mirren, can Livingston get a win and try and drag themselves back into it? So it's been a brilliant league campaign so far.
Because whatever the norm is, Tony, Celtic dominating really for the last 15 years, Celtic and Rangers overall dominating for the last 40 years or so, from what we've seen this season, there's nothing normal about this season. There has been so many crazy storylines, things happening every single week that would just never happen in another season. Does that make you think that potentially, you know, it could be different from what we've seen over the past, you know, few decades?
If there was a season for it to happen, it would definitely be this season. I think it's the healthiest the top six, top eight's been in the league for a while. I think, I don't know, I've never been a Rangers coach, Al has, but historically going to Fir Park, they're expected to take 3 points. Tonight, who are you backing? I don't know who you would back, because Motherwell stay up away. Even Falkirk away, you go to Hibs, Rangers drops points. I think Hearts have took, is it all but 2 points against Celtic and Rangers this season? Is it 13 points out of 15?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I agree with the Rangers one. Maybe there's not a lot. Celtic, the only thing that stops me from backing Hearts to do it is, like we said, Celtic have got Schmeichel, who's won a league down in England and here. You've got Carter Vickers behind the scene, like Al says now, Sir Johnson. Then you've got Ralston, who's...
They're out for the rest of the season. They're going to play. They're not going to play now.
They're still around the place, though. They're still around the boys. They're still...
They're on the pitch. You know what I mean? But that's like saying, like, they're Shankland, Devlin. You know what I mean?
I think Shankland will still be playing a massive part in the changing room at Hearts at the moment, because of how big a player he is and how big a figure he is. And I think when Devlin comes back, it's going to be a big boost. And when Shankland comes back, it's going to be a big boost. For Hearts to have kept this form up, and you mentioned the St Mirren game last week, I thought the criticism was over the top, because they got a man sent off who he was probably half a second late with his tackle, or he would have won it. So we're talking about split decisions, split second decisions. I think Hearts are in a position where, as a fan, you couldn't ask for a better position. But I do worry that Celtic and Rangers are both strong as well. That's not to say Hearts won't win it, but what I'm saying is, if it was a two-way title race, I would be a lot more confident as a Hearts fan, whereas now they drop points, they've got two people attacking them, not just one.
Marty, how big is this game on Sunday now? I know there are still matches to happen tonight, but going to Ibrox, how telling, defining do you think that could be in the title race?
Well, the way I'm looking at it is, right, just say, for example, if Rangers go to Fir Park tonight and win, right, and they beat us on Sunday, okay, and that's it, like, we're still top of the league, and it's like down to goal difference, right? But I think our next games is Falkirk at home, Aberdeen at home, away to, is it Kilmarnock, at home to Dundee, then away to Livingston, if my mind serves me right, eh? So,
yep.
I mean, obviously there's an offer from Derby in between that as well. You know, so there's somebody going to, I don't know, we'll just have to see what happens, eh? But I think we're in a good place. If we even go to Ibrox on Sunday, and take a draw, a point, it's not the end of the world.
Marty, do you know, I love the way, because every fans are all looking at the fixtures. Yeah, we'll take care of them, they'll be easier enough. And then, but do you know the way it's set up in Scotland as well, with the split that everyone have to take care of themselves at the tail end.
Out the window, that, you know, teams could pick up X amount of points, and what the table looks like with five games to go, with all the teams playing each other once, could then look very different again. But that's what's going to make it so
exciting. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. And even guys like Marty, we've got about 12 games to go, and you know, everybody's going, right, okay, we've got all this. And it's just such an exciting season, and I think it's been the best that I can remember for such a long time.
Thank you to Marty, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you are on your way to Celtic Park or Fir Park. We are going to get the team news shortly, but until then, you can let us know who should play, who shouldn't play, who out of the new signings has to feature for your side. Rangers fans, any of those four, all of those four potentially, should they be in from the start? Is it going to be two strikers? Is it going to be one striker? Celtic fans, what about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Would you throw him straight in from the start? Do you think he will make his debut tonight? 0141 951 1025 on the phones.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Four massive games in the Premiership tonight. More context to them as well, because if Hearts went over Hibs in the Edinburgh Derby last night, means Hearts are 6 points ahead at the top of the table. So it's time for Celtic and Rangers to try and respond. We want to hear from you, 0141 951 1025. We will get that team news from Celtic Park very, very shortly, so Celtic fans, get your calls lined up, ready to react to that. You can tell us who you think should be playing in that game, and Rangers fans, Motherwell fans as well, interested to hear your thoughts ahead of that big one at Fir Park. Let's speak to Zach, who is a Rangers fan in Fife. Zach, how are you feeling about this one tonight?
And Andrew, Tony and Alec, how are you doing? Is it okay?
Good, Zach.
Good, Zach.
I just think basically it should be the same team that played on Sunday, apart from obviously Butland. If Manny's fit, then be Manny and Suter, and then obviously have the four new players in. I would make sure that they have Moore as a number 10, and obviously keep Antman in as well. I wouldn't put Kasama back in, because I think he's been pretty good the last couple of games, and I think he well with the.
Yeah, I mean, it shows maybe the options that Rangers have now that they didn't have previously. Zach's talking about playing the four new signings, but he's then speaking about Oliver Antman, who had been out the picture because of injury for so long, hadn't really done the business at the start of the season that people were expecting him to, having come in and I think got the most assists in the Dutch top flight last season. But, you know, he's done enough to impress Zach over the last couple of games. So Danny Rowe certainly has options tonight. Do you think all four of the new signings will start?
Difficult to say, mate. I really don't know. I'd be fascinated to see how he shapes up. I think you made an interesting point, Andrew, about 10 minutes ago. Will they go with the two strikers up top? Will they go back to the 4-3-3? But it'd be difficult to say, really. I think Antman has come in off the left-hand side. I think he's actually looked a lot brighter there, because he comes in on his right foot, which allows the boy Romans to go down the outside or underlap. And they seem to be getting a decent little relationship. So whether that's enough to keep out on that left-hand side, I would expect Olsen. Chigwani looks a monster to me. And I think if you're playing against a team that are very possession-based, I would suggest you get somebody as powerful and strong as him in there to try and kind of physically bully the Motherwell players and try and get after them. Because the one thing you're going to have to be tonight is mobile and get after the Motherwell players, because they give you opportunities to pinch the ball off them, because they take chances and they try and construct from the back. So it'd be interesting to see whether they go man for man. And, you know, again, that would allow you to do that, because you maybe have Fernandes at the back as well and Suter, who are two monsters. So anything that goes long, you do expect him to hoover that up. So I'm fascinated to see what the team looks like, Andrew.
Maybe an easier decision at the weekend for Danny Rowe to go with two strikers when you're playing against a team that are bottom of the Championship, when you are coming up against a team who are so possession dominant at home in Motherwell. Does it make sense to only have two central midfielders in there? Do you feel that there needs to be another body in the centre of the park to try and counteract that?
Well, I heard Zach saying about Mikey Moore on the 10. I think he could actually go Raskin, Chukwuanyi and Diamandé to kind of nullify Motherwell. Motherwell play a 4-2-3-1 with a number 10 in there, and they kind of play a lot of central football, and I think they can maybe even do that. I know he likes Asgard, but I think if somebody was playing in there, it would be Mikey Moore. I don't think the two is realistic, because I don't think Motherwell are going to really go two banks of phones. Rangers are going to go two banks of phones sitting against Motherwell. I think the fans wouldn't be happy for a start going there. I think the most likely thing would be a 4-3-3, whether they put a sitting midfielder or an attacking midfielder, and I think that's probably between Diamandé and Moore to take up that spot. But you hear a lot of good things about Antman, you hear a lot of good things about this boy Romans, the boy McGoma's done okay the last couple of months under Danny Rowe, and obviously Scott Wilson, again, we know what he's capable of. I think Rangers are sitting in a decent position, and I think tonight's team news will probably tell you what the manager
if
thinks.
If you go with one number nine, who would it be? Chimiti or the...
Ryan Nadiri, possibly.
I think Nadiri, because Chimiti's missed the last couple of games with injuries. It stitches.
Yep. Yeah.
I think I'd maybe go the boy Nadiri just because of that. He scored at the weekend. I think he scored two.
Two, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think a striker on form scored. He's new, he's fresh. I think that's probably the way to go for me. But I do think Chimiti to come off the bench.
Who wins that striker debate for you, Zach? Is it just the one that starts up there? Is it two? And who plays?
Seen Nadiri after he looked like Jelovic 2.0. The way he moves, I've watched, obviously, I've not seen a lot of him, obviously. I've only watched from when Rangers were interested in him, and then I watched, obviously. But the way he finishes, the way he moves, I think he just reminds you a lot of Jelovic. And obviously, we know how good Jelovic was. I definitely would be starting him, because he knows where to go in between the sticks, but you get a lot of your goals. And I think at the moment, Chiametti doesn't do that. A lot of Chiametti's good players outside the box and from the goal, and we don't want that. We want somebody who's a predator.
Picking players who are, you know, on form, have a bit of confidence about them, can that be a helpful thing as well? Yusuf Chiametti has missed a couple of games, as we mentioned, because he had to get stitches after the Hibs game, wasn't on a great goal scoring run before that, whereas you then get the option of Ryan Nadiri, who's come in, started his first game, scored a couple of goals. Is that something that, you know, coaches, managers take into account?
Yeah, potentially. Let's not be how he's been about the building. He's obviously only been here a couple of weeks in the day, so it'll be interesting to see how Chiametti's feeling. Also, who presses the best may well be an option for the manager. So it'll be fascinating, really. But the one thing the Rangers have now is they have real options all over the park. You know, we've obviously mentioned them, and then you've got Majovski, who hasn't even come into the conversation yet. So you've still got plenty of players at your disposal. So I think Rangers have the luxury of that. I think it's really how the manager sees the setup and how they're going to combat the way that Motherwell play, and then try and utilise that from then on in.
0141 951 1025. Thank you to Zach. Let's go to Celtic Park. Gabriel has the team news ahead of that one.
Yes, Andrew, Celtic team has just come out. 6 changes from the side that beat Dundee in the Cup on Saturday night, with Sinisalo, Hatate and Tierney dropping to the bench. Bernardo, Yang and Vuka are out of the squad altogether. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is amongst the substitutes for the first time in his Celtic career. Kasper Schmeichel is back in goal. Marcelo Soracci's in at left back. Benjamin Negre and Arjen Engels in. Engels, of course, the first time he's been involved since that £25 million bid from Nottingham Forest was rejected on deadline day. Dyson Maeder and Sebastian Tunecti are in as well. So the team is as follows: Schmeichel in goal, Araujo, Trusty, Scales and Soracci as a back four, Negron, Callum McGregor and Arne Engels in the middle of the park, Dyson Maeder, Thomas Chvanchara and Seb Tunecti up top. The substitutes: Sinisalo, Adamu, McCowan, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Hatate, Arthur, Forrest, Donovan and Tierney.
Anything that stands out to you in particular there, Tony?
No, I think the team pretty much has picked itself. I thought maybe Forrest or Yang could have played instead of Maeder, Tunecti, and obviously Engels missed it completely at the weekend, so you'd maybe have thought Hatate. But no, I think it's a really strong Celtic team. I think for me, if Celtic can go and finish the game early and get the likes of Adamu and Oxlade-Chamberlain on the park for 30 minutes at the end of the game, I think that'll be massive going into the kind of title race.
Yeah, interesting. Yang and Vuka not in the squad at all. You've got to assume those are injuries, but Dyson Maeder coming back in, I think everyone expected that to happen. And Sebastian Tunecti, just the impact he had at the end of that Dundee game, probably an easy choice to put him in from the start. But the challenge for him will be to try and produce that again, because, you know, he has been criticised for his end product at times this season.
Yeah, but on the back of the weekend, he's obviously a player full of confidence, an assist and a winning goal. So Chvanchara will lead the line, as he normally does. And then you've got the midfield three, who are very familiar with the way Celtic play. So it's a very strong Celtic team. You know, they look at the bench as well, and, you know, they've got a host of players that they can call upon. I totally agree with Tony. I think it's an opportunity. If you can get a couple of goals early doors, it's an opportunity to try and get some minutes into guys like Oxlade-Chamberlain. So
could this be the perfect scenario for him? Really, that type of game, home against the team bottom of the league, that he'll be itching to try and get on the pitch tonight.
It would be a great opportunity to introduce yourself in front of a big Celtic following, and it'd be interesting to see whether there's a boycott or anything tonight. But even still, there should be a large crowd there for Celtic, and then it's an opportunity for the boy to come and showcase what he can do.
Well, Celtic fans, let us know what you think of that starting lineup and the substitutes. Anything that you're interested in there, anything that stands out, 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Mark, who is a Rangers fan in Clydebank. Mark, who has to start for Rangers tonight for you if they're going to get a victory?
I think for me the game's going to come down to a midfield battle, and I think we're going to have to be switched on at the back. So I would have Romans, Fernandes, Suter and Tav across the back, and I'd put Raskin, Diomandi and Chiwani in midfield with Mikey Moore, Nadiri and Scott Bolton. The biggest threat that Motherwell have is Masvinisi. But the credit to, I think that trying to stop it is Sosa is the key for that. So you just get Chwangara, so you just get let's see, then the midfielder, sorry, Raskin and Diomandi. And Chiwani, thank you, to sit in Eliza Just, because he's the source. And I think if you cut that off, you're going to cut that feed to Masvinisi. And before you know it, there's less opportunity. And I think given the height and the threat for Fernandes, it's going to come down. I wouldn't surprise me if it's a set-piece game tonight. I know we turned it into a basketball game last time we played Motherwell, because it doesn't suit the way they play. But I think that's the way I would go.
Is Emmanuel Fernandes, is that a pretty simple choice, do you think, if he's fit to come straight back in, Alex? Because Mark talks about his physical presence, how good he is in both boxes. If it is to be a really tight game, we've seen Rangers are good from set pieces, he's certainly a threat when it comes to that.
Yeah, but I think there's a few players now that cause problems in and around the box. Even Nico Raskin, who's not the tallest, has obviously got on the NDF a couple as well. So, you know, I think Nadiri, if he starts, is obviously an option as well physically. But it's going to be a battle. I was fascinated to hear the report earlier on about the condition of the pitch as well. You know, it's obviously, it may well cut up, it may well be heavy. And you're going to need that physical presence, you know, in these conditions to try and kind of match, particularly a team that tries to play from the back. So I'm really, really fascinated to see how this one plays out, because when you look at the previous two fixtures, there hasn't been a lot between the teams. It's been very close encounters, and I expect the same again tonight.
As Mark mentions, Tawanda Masvinisi has been getting the headlines for Motherwell this season, but he's highlighting Elijah Just as being, you know, the one that is sort of pulling the strings in there. How impressed have you been with him, and how important is it that Rangers put a stop to him?
Yeah, he's been really impressive, because he came in a little bit later than the rest of them, I'm sure, and now he's joint top assist in the league.
Yeah,
he's been a revelation. You look at him and you think, how's this guy going to survive in Scottish football? He's tiny, he's not got a lot of build, but when you see him with the ball at his feet, he just looks like an absolute fantastic talent, and I think he's going to have a really, really good career. And I think him in the 10 tonight, that is probably half the reason why I would have probably put a Diomandi in there over a Mikey Moore. Don't get me wrong, Mikey Moore can play off the side, but what I'm saying in terms of a 4-3-3 with a defensive midfielder, I'll say is about the pitch. I've heard it's cutting up a little bit as well. So I think Rangers probably don't need to go defensive. They're away from home, but they probably need to win that battle first. They've built a squad of big players now. They're giants.
Giants.
Do you know what I mean? It's the Danny Rowe coming from Germany knows physicality is a big part of the game, and I think Rangers go there, try and win the battle, and they've got a chance to come out on top. But Motherwell will also have a big chance because how they play and how well they've done.
Well, thank you to Marco. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, we've had that team news, so let us know what you think of it. Are you excited to see the potential debut for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Rangers fans, we're about to get that team news after the break, so stay tuned for that. And while you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this.
Clyde One. For Valentine's.
Yeah, get your heart racing this Friday with an extra £450,000 in your life. On Friday, it was Catherine who got the call, and she said all her dreams had come true. She plans on spending the money on her 12-year-old son and paying off her mortgage as well. On Friday, Make Me a Winner could be your Valentine. Text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll also find the rules for this network competition there as well. Or you can call 03434 0818 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. And all you need to do if you get the call is just answer your phone and you'll win £450,000. As simple as that. And it's paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win, text yes to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big night in the Scottish Premiership title race. Alex Ray and Tony Watt here taking your calls. 0141 951 1025. Going to get that team news from Fir Park between Motherwell and Rangers very shortly. But let's go back to the phones. Brian is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Brian, are you happy with that starting lineup for the game tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's important to rotate the squad as best we can with the amount of games that we've got, or what we've had before and what we've got coming forward. So, yeah, I think a few expected changes. And hopefully, I think Celtic get an early couple of goals, then we should really start to try and, even this early, try and start pushing to get some of the goal difference back and try and get ahead of the other two. So, yeah, it should be an opportunity for Celtic this week, not just tonight, to hopefully claw some points and some goals back on Hearts and Rangers.
Are you looking forward to potentially seeing a debut for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench for the first time tonight?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot being made about that signing, obviously, but he's a big name. He's obviously done a lot in the game already. No transfer fee or anything like that, so I don't really see it as a gambling stuff. So it'd be interesting to see if he tries to get minutes in his legs. That'll all depend, I think, on how the game goes. Obviously, Marvin Bartley's new in at Livingston, and you know they'll be looking to try and put up a good fight. So it'll fully depend on how the game goes. You know, I'd say the first 25-30 minutes, we'll kind of have an idea whether we'll see him or not.
Yeah, Brian mentions goal difference there, which could be absolutely massive this season with how tight things are. Rangers took advantage of the fact that Kilmarnock went down to 10 men last midweek, managed to rack up 5 goals in that game, which means that Celtic are now the ones that are actually lagging behind slightly when it comes to goal difference, when you've got Hearts on sort of plus 28, Rangers on plus 24, Celtic on plus 20. So opportunities like tonight, yeah, where we are, Martin O'Neill will be wanting his squad to go out and not just win, but try and put a few goals past Livingston if they can.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, Andrew. And, you know, I think I've maintained that this is going to go to the wire. So goal difference may well come into play. So with the greatest respects to Livingston, you'll be looking for Celtic to rack up a couple of goals tonight. You know, the firepower they have at the top end of the pitch as well, starting the game, never mind coming off the bench. So, you know, they'll be looking to try and kind of ratify that goal difference.
But even at that, you maybe can't go too far in that direction by trying to put emphasis on it, because 3 points is just what all three of the teams need going into any game. You can't be taking any game for granted, even if it's at home against bottom of the table.
Yeah, I think the weekend showed that in the cup against Dundee. Celtic scraped by them, to be honest. It wasn't a convincing qualification, I think. Obviously, they scored last minute, and then they got the job done, to be honest to them, and that can happen. But I think, to appease Celtic fans' minds tonight, Celtic need to go and put on a clinic. And I think if Celtic can win 3 or 4-0, or win by 3 or 4 goals, you would expect them to keep a clean sheet against Livingston at home. That puts them right back in the mix with Rangers and Hearts. Hearts are obviously flying at the moment. The top scorers obviously in the league, and then they've only conceded 20 goals. And I think Celtic, going back to the point, need to win by 3 or 4. If Celtic go and beat Livy 1-0, you'll have a lot of disgruntled fans.
Brian, is that performance against Dundee, is it something that concerns you at all, or are you just thinking different competition, 6 changes tonight, it's, you know, different opposition, it doesn't have too much of a bearing?
To be honest with you, throughout the season it's kind of been a bit like that. In both Martin O'Neill spells, it's been, you know, about getting the job done. I know that when Danny Rule first came in at Rangers, he got a lot of plaudits for getting the job done. It wasn't really pretty football, it was ugly football. It's very, very similar. I think they both teams are in a very similar situation with the January transfer window signings. Nobody really knows what they're going to bring to the party. I think that you're right, 3 points is a must more than anything, of course, but if there's an opportunity to get goals in, they have to take it. The game against Dundee, you know, there's a lot of huffing and puffing, and it's been like that quite a lot this season. The only difference being is that Martin O'Neill always ends up seeming to get the job done. He's only been beat once against Midtjylland, and obviously the only points he's dropped domestically were away to the league leaders, the Wear Hearts. So, you know, as much as there's a lot of talk about the momentum that Rangers have got, although they dropped points against Hibs, that Hearts are still obviously grinding results out as well. Celtic are kind of still doing stuff similar. So, you know, getting the results in with the fixtures that are still available, still very much in Celtic's hands. And it's up to Celtic to go and actually do that. So as a Celtic supporter, it's not on anybody else. It's on Celtic to go and actually show that they deserve to win the league.
I think Martin O'Neill probably would have been hoping to have even more options on the bench tonight than he does, because Yang and Mvuka are injured. But even still, look at it, Adamu could well come on, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is there, Rio Hatate has a goal in him, James Forrest is there. So the Celtic squad is starting to sort of beef up a bit, where maybe at times this season there's been limited options on the bench.
Well, we were questioning the Mvuka and the Yang one, if are they injured, are they just not in the squad? And I think that probably should be the case at Celtic and Rangers. You look at Rangers and they've got three strikers fighting for the number nine spot. If they're playing 4-3-3, there's only one spot there. So I think to win the league, you probably need a squad of 20-22 players if you're at Celtic and Rangers, and Hearts have done that as well this season. So this is the strongest Celtic's looked in terms of a full squad, having Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench in a long time. And the good thing about it, as you said, there's goals on that bench. You look around and you're 0-0 with 20 minutes to go, there's goals there you can bring on. You've got Forrest, Hatate, who can nick a goal, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and the boy Adamu comes on at the weekend and nicks a goal, and even McCown's scored a few goals in his time as well.
Well, thank you to Brian, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. I think we can go to Fir Park and get that team news ahead of a big one between Motherwell and Rangers. Alison McConnell.
Yeah, we've got the teams here at Fir Park, and yep, it'll be an interesting team for Rangers fans to hear. Now, we've got Jack Butland back in goal as expected. He takes over from Liam Kelly, James Tavernier, John Souter, Nasser Djiga, Jaden McComa. And then it looks like a middle three of Chukwuanah, Raskin, Diomande, and then Gassama, Moore, and Shermiti. We've got Jack Butland at the back, it's James Tavernier, John Souter, Nasser Djiga, Jaden McComa, and then we've got Chukwuanah, Raskin, and Diomande, and then Gassama, Moore, and Shermiti. On the bench, it's Kelly, Fernandes, Romans, Sterling, Asgard, Antman, Skobolsen, Nadiri, and Majowski. And for Motherwell, Callum Ward, Stephen O'Donnell, Paul McGinn, Stephen Welsh comes back in, Emmanuel Longello, Elliot Watt, Lucas Fadinger just at middle two, and then Ibrahim Sahid, Elijah Just, Cam Slattery, and Tawanda Maswanhisi up front.
Yeah, very interesting team news that. If we take a look at that Rangers side first, I think many Rangers fans thought Emmanuel Fernandes might come straight back in. He's on the bench. Tua Romans, who's impressed in his first couple of appearances, drops out for Jaden McComa. You've then got Skov Olsen, who doesn't start. Nadiri doesn't start. So got a few talking points in their selections.
Yeah, a few surprises, actually, Andrew. You're absolutely right. Fernandes makes the bench, but he's obviously going with Djiga there. McComa takes over the left back berth as well. We were talking about Olsen, we felt as if he would be a stick on tonight, but obviously they're going to be Gassama and Moore off the side. We were also talking about Ant-Man earlier on, how well he's done, but as I said, not featured. And then the big talking point will be who will start at the top end of the pitch. He's going for Chermiti.
Yeah, it was that midfield three that you suggested would probably be the case, Tony, of Chukwuanah, Raskin and Diomande. No surprise for you there?
No, I think it makes sense. The only surprise is maybe Danny Rowe's only used one of his four new signings, but when you actually look at it and you think a game against Motherwell, play the boys that know the league, the boys that have done it. The big surprise for me is the boy Fernandes not playing. I don't know what his fitness is like after missing a couple, but the boy Djiga has had his chance for me, and Fernandes came in, done really well, and probably was, I think he was the one that was scoring all the set plays, as he scored six goals.
Fernandes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a difficult one there. Obviously, Danny Rowe sees something. Maybe he's not ready to play 90 minutes. Maybe he just gets him back in case he needs to go on and score a goal at a set piece. But I think the rest of the team probably picks itself if you're looking at the way Danny Rowe's been, in terms of he's been quite pragmatic with the kind of defensive side of stuff. He's been very rigid, and that's what's turned their season around. That's what's got them where they need to be. And he trusts Shermitty, obviously, in the kind of midfield three, like I said, picks itself. Mikey Moore was a stick on to play. It was just whether he was playing in that attacking midfield role or if he was playing out wide. But no, the Rangers team for me looks really strong. Like I said, probably the only one I question is, did you get one for Fernandes?
Well, 1419511025. Rangers fans, what do you make of that starting lineup? What to hear from you Motherwell fans as well? Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's heading along to Celtic Park tonight. Interested to hear your thoughts on that starting lineup and how you'll get on against Livingston. We're reflecting on that win for Hearts. A huge win, wasn't it? That late victory against Hibs last night. So 0141 951 1025, get your calls in on those topics and get your calls in for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I think, you know how you have like darts nicknames and stuff like that? I think you're going to start being Alex Tiebreaker Ray at this point.
That's the one that's driving me mad.
So we'll see. It could be another tiebreaker for Alex Ray. Or is it going to be Player of the Month, Tony Watt? Can he put his form on the pitch in to beat the pundit? We'll see. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in for Beat the Pundit before 7 o'clock.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Four big games to look forward to in the Scottish Premiership tonight. Three of them are 7:45 kickoff. Celtic taking on Livingston, Kilmarnock against St Mirren, Falkirk taking on Dundee, and then at 8 o'clock, Motherwell against Rangers, big one at Fir Park. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in because we want to hear your thoughts ahead of those games. They are massive when it comes to the title race, especially after Hearts 1-0 win in the Edinburgh Derby last night. Maybe that is what is on your mind. You want to talk about that? 0141 951 1025. But maybe this is the biggest game of all.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Two different approaches from the two of you going into this, because Tony says he's been studying all day.
Yeah.
He's basically taking a week off training at Thistle, hasn't he, just to study for Beat the Pundit. And Alex, you, despite the fact that you seem to be going to tiebreakers every single time you play, you're just winging it.
Blagging it. Just absolutely blagging it, Tony.
Don't mind it.
We'll see what happens tonight. It's Louis who is in Motherwell that's going to play. Louis, have you played before?
I've not, mate, no.
How do you normally get on when you're playing along at home?
A bit hit and miss, to be honest with you.
We'll see how it is when the pressure's on. Who do you want to face, Tony Watt or Alex Ray?
I'm going to have to go Tony Watt.
Right, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Tony Watt, will be the red side for Alex Ray. You don't get your wish, Louis. It is the red side of the coin for Alex Ray. So we will put something else in the ear of Alex Tiebreaker Ray so he cannot hear us. And the rules for you, Louis: 30 seconds on the clock. Very honest of you, no, Alex. So he'll give me, there we go, we've got the thumbs up from Alex now, so he can't hear us.
It's just went blank.
The show's gone blank in the ear, but there's no music.
So you can still hear me? Is that an issue? Right. That's definitely an issue. Right, there we go. You got some music on the go now. Perfect. There we go. No cheating from Alex Ray anymore. So Louis, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. All good?
Yep.
Let's go. Who had a shorter term as manager, Wilfred Nancy at Celtic or Kenny Miller at Livingston?
Miller.
Who scored the only goal the last time Rangers beat Motherwell?
Tavernier.
How many teams in the Scottish Premiership have a negative goal difference?
Two.
The Challenge Cup tie between St Johnstone and Ayr will take place at what neutral stadium?
Pass.
What animal is on Dumbarton's badge?
Pass.
Benjamin Arthur is on loan at Celtic from which English side?
Brentford.
Okay, we will bring Alex Ray back in.
I'm back, yes.
Got you now, headphones are working this time.
Good stuff.
30 seconds on the clock for Alex Ray. Let's go. Who had a shorter term as manager, Wilfred Nancy at Celtic or Kenny Miller at Livingston?
Kenny Miller.
Who scored the only goal the last time Rangers beat Motherwell?
Jimmy.
How many teams in the Scottish Premiership have a negative goal difference?
Four.
The Challenge Cup tie between St Johnstone and Ayr will take place at what neutral stadium?
Falkirk.
What animal is on the Dumbarton badge?
A ram.
Benjamin Arthur is on loan at Celtic from which English side?
Bournemouth.
Hearts' Thomas Bent Magnusson is from what country?
Sweden.
How do you think it went, Louis?
I got smashed, to be honest.
I don't think so, son.
No. We'll see. We'll see. Oh, you both got so. Through plenty of questions.
But all right.
But were there plenty of points? Let's see. Who had a shorter term as manager? Wilfred Nancy at Celtic or Kenny Miller at Livingston? You both went for Kenny Miller at Livingston.
Nancy.
That was a 51-day stint. Wilfred Nancy was only 33. Aww. So it is 0-0 to start things off. Who scored the only goal the last time Rangers beat Motherwell? Tello Asgard was the answer. Neither of you got it. Remains 0-0. How many teams Classic. In the Scottish Premiership have a negative goal difference? Louis went for just 2. You went for 4. The answer's 7. So it remains 0-0. The Challenge Cup tie between St Johnstone and Ayr will take place at what neutral stadium? Louis passed. You went for the Falkirk Stadium, which is correct. So finally we have a point on the board, and it is for Alex Ray. What animal is on the Dumbarton badge? Neither of you got it. It's an elephant. Do you have got
What's
that, Tony?
On here?
No, I said horse.
It's an elephant.
I said that last week as well.
So it is still 1-0 to Alex Ray. Benjamin Arthur is on loan at Celtic from which English side? You went for Bournemouth. Louis went for Brentford. And it is Brentford. Oh. He levels things up. However, Alex Ray got one more question in.
Hearts,
Thomas Bent Magnusson is what nationality? Trying to build up the tension, but Alex knows, despite the fact that you said Swedish, that he is not Swedish. He is from Iceland. So, Alex, tiebreaker. Ray is going to another tiebreak. I called it already. Right, Louis, what I'll do is I'll read out the question, and before you give me your answer, I'll get Alex to write down his answer, and then you can tell me yours once I let you know. Is that all good?
I no worries.
How many?
How many? The side eye here, this guy.
How many UK top 10 singles has Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's wife Perry Edwards had as a solo artist and as a member of Little Mix?
Oh, for God's sake.
Right, Louis, I'll let you hold fire at the moment so that Alex can write down his answer. I thought that this was a football quiz. Apparently not. We're venturing into music. So how many UK top 10 singles has Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's wife Perry Edwards had as a solo artist and a member of Little Mix? Louis, your answer, please.
Little Mix, Jesus. Top 10 singles. I'll go for... Oh, I don't know. 18. I don't know.
You've gone for 18. Alex Ray, hold up your bit of paper.
7.
The answer is 21. Louis was only a couple away. He's clearly a big Little Mix fan, a big Perry Edwards fan. And Alex loses on a tiebreak. Not for the first time in recent times. And it is a win for Louis. Ball. Is it the signed ball or the beat the pundit coin that you're after, Louis?
I'll go for the sign ball.
There we go. We'll get one sent out to you, Louis. Who's your team?
Celtic. So I'm just I just put up popped up before the game there. So
Good stuff. So how are you feeling? Are you feeling confident that it can be a double for you tonight? A win and beat the pundit, and a win for Celtic.
You'd like to think so. I mean, I'd be disappointed if not. So, I'm confident going into tonight. There's no reason why we shouldn't be.
In terms of the team, any surprises in there for you? Quite happy with it.
No, it's great. I'm happy to see Sarachu back. I'm happy with the team tonight as well.
What about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Are you quite looking forward to potentially seeing him coming on? What do you feel he can add to this Celtic side?
I think we're just missing someone that can maybe hit one in from 20, 25 yards. I think he's that exact player we're needing, so I'm really looking forward. I know he's maybe not played as much in Turkey and stuff as he's hoped, but I think he's going to be a big asset for us.
Yeah, I think with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, there is a bit of the element of unknown about what we're going to see from him at Celtic, because we all saw him, you know, in his time in the English Premier League. Tony had a great time at Arsenal, had success at Liverpool as well. The fact that he's had those 2 years in Turkey where we've not really seen much of him, and we know he's had sort of injury problems. What are you expecting to see from him, Tony, in a Celtic shirt?
Well, I said last week about a marquee signing, and I actually said Raheem Sterling, and he's probably just a level above Oxlade-Chamberlain, but for somebody like Oxlade-Chamberlain to come to Celtic when he's not over the hill for me, don't get me wrong, he's had two slow years, but that happens in careers. Sometimes you go to a place that doesn't fit. I think Celtic will be the perfect place for him because he'll play a lot of games and he'll show his quality. I think he's a hard-working midfielder that can nick a goal, and I think Celtic maybe lack that. It lets kind of McGregor sit, Ingles get on the ball, and then maybe put Negan in a wee bit further up. So, no, I think after 2 or 3 weeks, I think he'll be right in the mix to be in the starting 11, and I think he'll produce. And obviously, I've seen that Celtic have got an option for next season. I think that's also good. I don't want to just see him there for 2 or 3 months. I want to see him next year and giving Celtic some good years.
Louis, that win for Hearts last night, the fashion of it, you know, does that add any extra pressure to tonight for you?
I've been saying to my dad and my pals and stuff, just as long as we can keep winning, you're going to hope they're going to slip up one game. Obviously, it adds pressure, they're not really stopping at the moment, but I think it's just a matter of fact that we don't have to just try and not pay attention to that and just keep winning every game for the time being.
Is that the attitude you think the three teams will really be taking, is just focus on yourselves? I know there are big games between the teams like this weekend, but if you just focus on yourself, Alex, you try and rack up as many points as you can, then, you know, you're doing what you can essentially to put yourself in the best position.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's about winning, constantly winning, really. I think the performances to are secondary. I don't think that detracts away from when you get an opportunity to see your rivals playing either the night before, or do they pile pressure on, or do they drop points, then you have to capitalise on that. So I think all these factors will kick in as the weeks progress, where you have to show your real mettle, and you also have to try and get the points on the board, particularly the day before, because there's nothing worse as a player, you know, and right, oh my God, we really need to win today. You can't afford to drop points because of the opposition won in the previous day. So these are all factors that are all going to be important. But if you continue to win, regardless what goes on round about you, you know, you can take care of your own business.
Well, thank you to Louis. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We haven't touched on it too much, but a big night as well for friend of the show, Marvin Barkley, going to Celtic Park. How does he approach this one?
We said that to Tony. I was talking to Tony during the break, and I'm saying, how do you approach it? You know, you can't go toe-to-toe with Celtic. You have to really be organised, defensively sound, and then try and hit them on the break or a set play, because otherwise you open up against a Celtic team, I think you can get a really sore one. And just because of the runner on, I think it's August since they last had a win, so, you know, it's a tough environment. He'll be trying to keep it as the old adage of 20 minutes, try and kind of get the crowd silence and so forth, but I think it's going to be a long night for Marvin.
0141 951 1025. Next up on the phone is Davey, who's a Rangers fan in Dumbarton. Davey, any issues with that team selection tonight, or are you quite happy with it?
No, that's why I've called. I'd like to, thanks for taking me on, thanks for listening to the panel. But I don't know, I'm quite confused with this. Maybe it's a bad reception we're getting Dumbarton, but when I saw the team tonight, I just can't believe. We want to win the league, yes, we want to win the league. But to me, he's not put a team out to win tonight. Centre forward, can we take it? Just, when was the last time he scored a goal? He scored 2 goals against Celtic. What the guy? So then there was Gassama as well. I mean, to me, they don't give 90 minutes of the football. Gassama has been substituted quite a few times in the past 4 or 5 games. But I still don't feel he does it. But I'm really confused with centre forward. This young boy came in for Germany, and he's a substitute tonight. I'd like to ask the panel, what do they think of the selection for the team tonight? Because I honestly, it's throwing points away before the game's even. That's just my view of it. It's throwing points away before, and you can't throw any points away. A draw to me is still, I know it's out of a tie, but I think a draw is, it's getting, obviously giving other teams a better advantage. But I'd like to know what their thoughts are on the team selection tonight.
I don't think it's throwing points away with the team that's currently there. I think that's partly, if you look at that team that out with the boy Chugwani, that's pretty much the team that Danny Rowe inherited and he went on an incredible run with. So I wouldn't be kind of down in tools and surrendering it at this point in time. I think there was a few surprises in there, but I can understand in some ways that you don't want to play your new players because it is a interesting environment, to say the least, Motherwell on a Wednesday night. These guys are familiar with what it takes. They also know what they are actually like because they've already played against Motherwell twice before. So I don't think there's I think Danny Rowe seems to know what he's doing, and I would give him the benefit of the doubt. Potentially he might have said Tomiti, but he obviously still fancies this boy, and he's obviously thinking, you know, he could do the job for us tonight.
Danny Rowe's right. Also talked various times, Tony, about it being a squad game, and that it's not just about the 11 players that start, that you can make five substitutes. Sometimes after 60 minutes or so, the game does open up and it maybe offers a bit more of an opportunity to the guys coming off the bench. Is that something that you could be thinking with some of the newer guys that haven't started tonight?
Yeah, I don't think it's a defensive team. I think we said it before, I said to Al, if he was playing Sterling, he could have maybe went a 4-2-3-1. But the fact that he's got Tavernier on the team, who is a very good attacking option. Magoma against Hibs, you were watching Gassama coming inside and Magoma getting round him. Rangers aren't a defensive side, but it's probably just solidifying the middle of the park, and it then allows Moore and Gassama a little bit more licence to attack and free up chances for Chermity, get him opportunities. And I'll say that off air, Nadiri, Miovski, Skov Olsen, Antman and Asgard, five really attacking players who can come on at 60 minutes. You can make five subs. Rangers would be happy to be in the game at 50, 55 minutes at 0-0 and be able to unleash players like that. That's the joy of the January transfer window. Am I surprised that he hasn't started more of them? I was, but then the more you look at it, it's a tricky place to go, Motherwell. They're on a high. If one person isn't pressing correctly, Motherwell will pop their ball around you. And I think going with a team that knows his style, he probably just thinks it's a little bit too soon to integrate all these players in, and he probably doesn't want to go wild with it. He probably wants to go a bit more steady and solid. And I think, looking at it and taking a calculated view, I think it's probably the right decision not to start too many new players tonight.
Do you see that side of it, Davey, or are you still not too pleased?
Maybe it's a good comment what the panel have made, but I'm just still, I would like to see, let's say, I'd be happy with one, but I would still be happy at 60 minutes with zero, no scoring. Because I just feel at times at the back there could be one or two, just an easy slip up. We need to, and I would like to see, I mean, but the new centre forward we got, the boy Nardini, he ran everywhere against, I know nothing against Queen's Park, but he did give his heart, played, you know, at times it takes a lot of players to understand what it's to play for Rangers Football Club. A lot of them come up, I mean, that's just my view, they think they come up easy money, make it, but it's just, hopefully I'm wrong, and the phone call I've made to tonight, I definitely hope I'm wrong, but I just don't, I kind of see it's being that convincing with the team he's putting out to start with anyway. Maybe it might change after a while, but just my point of view.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Cheers. Davey, 0141 951 1025. Let's go quickly back to Celtic Park, get that Livingston team from Gabriel.
Yeah, Andrew, you're questioning how Marvin Bartley is going to go. We've got the answers. He's made six changes from the Arsenal: Falkirk, Danny Wilson, Cammy Kerr, Scott Pittman, Samson Lowell, Emmanuel Danso and Stevie May all come in. Looks like they'll be sticking with their three at the back formation. Jerome Pryor in goal, Daniel Finlayson, Danny Wilson and Brooklyn Camangolo as a back three. Cammy Kerr, Macaulay Tate, Emmanuel Danso and Samson Lowell. Looks like Scott Pittman and Stevie May will support Robbie Muirhead up top. Substitutes, Smith, McGowan, Smith, Bokila, Tam, Silla, Montana, Wana and Cole. But the referee, Andrew, is Callum Scott, and Chris Graham will be on the VAR.
Yes, get your calls in ahead of those matches. Not too long to go until the 7:45 kickoffs, 8 o'clock at Fir Park. 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
20 minutes until kick-off in three of the big Scottish Premiership matches tonight. Then it is Motherwell against Rangers at 8 o'clock. So any thoughts ahead of those games? 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you after we set up this for Alex and Tony.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Yes, the full-time teaser, all thanks to our new sponsor, Arcaplan Glasgow, on the show. So for tonight's teaser,
is it hard? I need to know if it's hard.
Nah, this is doable, I would say. This is doable. For tonight's teaser, big thanks to Nathan and Portland Das for it. Can you name eight players to score in an Old Firm derby while on loan since 2021? So players who have scored in Celtic Rangers, Rangers Celtic games since 2021 while being on loan. Václav Černý, no.
No.
Sima.
Abdallah Sima is correct. Scoring a 3-3 draw at Ibrox.
Carter Vickers?
Cameron Carter Vickers is correct. That first season when he was on loan, that is a good shout. Any more? Two down, six to go.
Jota?
Jota is correct as well. Scored in that same season. Right, I will leave that there and give you some thinking time while we speak to Stevie, who is a Celtic fan. Stevie, are you confident ahead of tonight's game?
Well, again, Livingston's never easy. I mean, even with Davey there, so I know he's no there now, Marvin is, but it's going to be a tough game. But if you look at it and sit and say the top three, I mean, the pressure showed with the Hearts game last night. I mean, but so it's Derek McInnes, I mean, running down the line, grabbing the wee ball boy. I think wee boys get whitewashed, you know what I mean? So they picked him up that fast. And but that's a pressure release, guys. So, but my point, obviously, I mean, is about if the Celtic board, and I know Alex there and Tony's there, but if the Celtic board, I mean, I'm not going to use the word war chest for them, but if you sit and say, I mean, if they show a financial commitment to him and sit and go, right, well, do you know what, he might bring back John Kennedy and then put him way short and stuff like that, that it might make his mind up. And I made the point to the producer then. I mean, Ross Stewart's obviously scored for Southampton last night. He's playing really, really well. It cost £12 million. Well, we paid 11 for Engels. So it's not, I mean, and obviously, the point is in two parts. So the first part, I don't know what Tony and I thought, that might be a good addition along with this other guy, that if they sit and go, do you know what, if you stay, Martin, we'll give you 30, 40 million, I mean, not to bring players in.
Do you feel more should have been spent in the January window, Stevie, to help the title though, push?
But I mean, we've got all these injuries, so if you make more signings in January, and I know they're on loan, but if they work out, because the point, I've been trying to go on for ages, and I mean, the point I'm trying to make is the players that he's picked to get in the European squad, we might end up playing two different kinds of ways, because the guys that he's brought in might make us better domestically, and the other guys that he's put in the European squad might make us better in Europe. I don't know what the guys think of that.
Yeah, there's certainly going to be a balance to strike, isn't there? Celtic have that added, you know,
a couple of games
aspect that they're in European competition as well, so that's a couple of midweeks that both Hearts and Rangers won't have games, that Celtic will have games, yeah. So Martin O'Neill's going to have to be smart, isn't he, about how he utilises his squad.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's a good opportunity to progress as well, and I think Iheanacho's almost back up to speed as well. I think that'll be pivotal, because obviously you don't want to be going with a striker in Germany and then obviously kind of a couple of days later, you know, you want a fresh one that you can maybe rotate a little bit. So I think it's important to do that, and I think when you look at the bench for Celtic as well, they have options there. So, you know, I think they're going to have to use this full squad. I don't think you can go every 3 days using the same starting 11. I think you're going to have to be wise in what you're doing. Listen, I think Martin O'Neill's over the course and distance, so he'll be very much aware of that.
Because the European game, some people might say they could be a bit of a distraction when it comes to the title race, but, you know, European matches come with all sorts of different riches, financial, but we've seen that Rangers have got deep into the Europa League before. How much of a, you know, where will that lie on Martin O'Neill's list of priorities when it comes to there being such a close title race?
I think because Martin O'Neill was here before, knows how important that is as a manager at Celtic, and probably knows that he's going at the end of the season, he'd love a run in the Europa League. I think that was probably, I know he won a treble when he was the manager at first, but he's probably most known for that run to Seville. And I think if he could get that, that would probably be up there with winning the league for him. But job number one is winning the league. I think Celtic have now built a squad where they can afford to play in two competitions. You look at that bench, like Alex said, and it's strong. But I think at Celtic you need to do well in all competitions, no matter what. But the problem is, last year they probably had the luxury of being comfortable in the league, and they could kind of leave Europe to the side. Whereas now, if they do bad in Europe and don't win the league, it's going to be a disaster. So I think they need to try their best in both and hope that both go well, because the disaster scenario would be none of them go well.
Stevie, so are you hoping that Martin O'Neill does stay beyond the summer then?
Well, again, obviously, I watched him in TalkSport the first time when he went back, and he said, if you were offered the job, would you take it? And he said, aye. And he didn't even flinch, he just said, aye. So to me, I think he's got unfinished business. I do agree with Tony, because the general consensus is we play really well, and then you've got all these guys shouting, sack the board, after we score. But, I mean, Alec and Tony have both played the game. See, when you're busting a gut, mate, let me know, and don't take that as an angry Alec, but you've hit a screamer for 25 yards and it's flew in the top corner. You want everybody to be like, your teammates, they'll be all around you and, oh, brilliant, mate, brilliant, the fans. You don't want people shouting other things after all your hard work. It just deflates you as a player. Or on both sides, I'm not just saying, or Celtic side, but on Rangers side as well, guys, because to me, it was different before because we had another board to come in. We don't have one now. But the guys have delivered 13 titles. I mean, you look at all the trophies that we've won, quadruple trebles and that. And Martin O'Neill's got a really, really good chance now of progressing in Europe because Stuttgart are no fancy coming to Celtic with these guys added in. They're playing well, and Martin O'Neill, if Nonsi was there to be sitting on that, this is a walk-here, guys. But with Martin there, they're going, we're going to be in for a game. And if we can get the luck of the draw getting through, who says we don't make it? But the top three, obviously, I mean, playing really well, everybody trying to stay in the race for as long as we can. That's brilliant for the game, is it not?
Oh, without doubt. We've been saying for the last couple of weeks now that, it's so exciting. Everybody's kind of looking everyone else's results. I think even if last night, I think the whole of Glasgow would have been looking for a Hibs victory. And when can you the last time you see that? You know, it's been never really. So, I think the fact that the three of them are going toe-to-toe, they're dropping points, they're picking up points, everyone's kind of fancying their chances that our team's going to go over the line. I think it's been one of the best and most refreshing seasons for a long time.
Well, thank you to Stevie, 0141 951 1025. Colin is a Rangers fan in Lanark. Colin, you feeling confident tonight, or does Motherwell's home record concern you?
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, Alex. I was confident until I seen that team selection. I think that's an utter disgrace to a team, especially when we get into a battle at Fir Park. There's at least two players that shouldn't have been anywhere near that starting 11.
Who would you have started differently, Colin?
Romans for a start, Alex.
Okay.
Fernandez. I would have had Ant-Man ahead of Gassama and Big Ryan ahead of Chirmiti, and I would possibly have looked to take out Tavernier for Sterling. This is a battle you need to win, and to me, he's looked at the game at the weekend and prioritised that more.
I mean, Danny Rule's results so far since he's come into Rangers have been pretty positive, Colin. He's got Rangers back into contention. Is there an element there where you just need to sort of trust his judgment, or is it just too much of a concern, some of the players that are starting?
It's too much of a concern for me, Andrew. Chirmiti shouldn't be anywhere near that starting lineup. The big fella Ryan's on fire. So I said to you, this is a game you need to go and bully Motherwell, and you needed a presence on the park. To me, we've not got a presence in that selection.
Yusuf Chirmiti's only got
Colin. The only thing he got right, I believe, is a midfield three.
Yeah. Chiguani has impressed me. I bumped into him a couple of weeks ago, and, a physical giant, yeah, guy. And if you're talking about trying to get after players tonight, I would imagine him, Raskin, and Diomandi. That's the reason why they've really went strong in the middle of the park. But listen, I think it's interesting what Colin says, because, he's kind of been through that, and he saw, this is pretty much the team that was from October onwards. Now, obviously, there's a couple of guys, and I was surprised as well that Romans didn't feature, but these guys will know where they are in the grand scale of things in terms of fitness and so forth. Whether Fernandez is up to speed as well would be another factor. Dujon Stalling, they're constantly saying that Dujon is, we have to watch his minutes and so forth for games, and they've obviously gone with the skipper to doing that there. The number nine position, I think, would be a kind of big debating point, partly because Nadiri got a couple at the weekend. Chirmiti hasn't really tore it up in terms of goals and things. So it was an interesting selection, whatever way you go. But obviously, you have to you have to rely on the manager in terms of what he knows, what the players are capable of. Otherwise, he's not going in there and prioritising Sunday's game over this, because if you don't win this, it just piles more pressure on the weekend.
Chiamiti's faced a lot of criticism from Rangers supporters, but over that period where Rangers went on an 8-game winning streak under Danny Rule, he was the number one striker. He was picked regularly by Danny Rule. What's Danny Rule sort of seeing that he thinks he's the man for this game, and what can he offer that Rangers team that maybe Colin and some Rangers fans aren't seeing?
Well, first and foremost, he stepped up when it mattered at Parkhead. He scored 2 goals, which probably buys him a little bit of time. But Danny Rule
is that time maybe sort of run out though, because I think he's played various times since then, and his contribution's been questioned.
Strikers are always judged on their goals, but if you're playing number 9 for Rangers and they're winning every week, I think they've only dropped 2 points, isn't it, in the last 6 or 7? If you're playing number 9 and they're winning every week, you must be doing something right, because if the ball bounces off you, your team's going to lose a lot of games. If you're at the number 9, I'm backing that up.
What are you laughing
I'm
at?
Laughing because he's brought his award and he's got any double figures in there. He's walking about.
Now he's defending strikers.
It's not about scoring goals, but if you're in double figures, it's all right. I think as a striker, I know there's been times where I've went through spells of not scoring goals but bringing a lot to the team. Chiamiti, I think, does bring a presence. Could he be tidier with the ball? Potentially, but at the moment he's winning the battle between him and Miovski. Now it's probably a case that Nadiri's on his trail. He done everything at the weekend, but like Al says, fitness, knowing how the team works, pressing, everything comes into the consideration for Danny Rowe. And I think looking at this team, I don't think there's 1% of Danny Rowe looking at Saturday. I genuinely don't, or Sunday, whatever day they play Hearts. I genuinely don't. I think this is more a what team can get the job done, what team knows how to deliver his message the best. And I think he probably thinks it's too early for everybody on the bench, and that it's not even the forward ones that surprised me. Like I said, it's Fernandez, and like Al says, maybe it's just too early for him to get 90 minutes under his belt.
Well, thank you to Colin. You've got some answers to get on this teaser. Can you name 8 players to score in an Old Firm game while on loan since 2021? You have Abdallah Sima, you have Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Struggling.
Mikey Moore.
Mikey Moore is correct, of course. He is the most recent out of the lot.
How far does it go back, or is that
2021?
Yeah, I'll give you some thinking time during the break. We'll go back around the grounds before kickoff as well.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Almost time for kickoff in the 7:45 games, and then it's an 8 o'clock kickoff between Motherwell and Rangers. We will go to Celtic Park very shortly, but some answers to get on this teaser. Can you name 8 players to score in an Old Firm game while on loan since 2021 so far? You have Mikey Moore, Abdallah Sima, Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Tillman.
No. Did not score.
El Yunusi.
Good shout. Mohamed El Yunusi was on loan from Southampton 2021. 3 more to get. We'll get them shortly. I think the teams are about to come out the tunnel at Celtic Park. Gabriel can give us the final bit of build-up.
Yes, Andrew, both teams on the park now, led out by their captains just a few minutes away. This is Martin O'Neill's 200th league game in charge at Celtic, his 299th overall. It wouldn't have even crossed his mind that he would have come back. I don't think it would have crossed anyone's mind in this stadium, Andrew, that he would be back seeing out these numbers of games. But he is here, and his record has been brilliant across his 2 spells this season. He's won 13 out of 16 matches, lost only once, and got Celtic right back in this 3-way title race. But he knows he has to win tonight to keep the pace with leaders' hearts, and they'll hope that if their results go their way elsewhere, they can make up some points on Rangers and Motherwell as well. Run through the teams quickly. 6 changes for Celtic. Schmeichel in goal, Araujo, Trusty, Scales and Sorachis are back. 4 Nygren, McGregor and Engels in midfield. Maida, Schwanchera and Tunekti up top. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is on the bench for the first time in green and white. 6 changes for Livingston as well. Pryor in goal, Finlayson, Wilson and Cabangolo are back. 3 Kerr, Tate, Danso and Lawal across the middle. Pittman and May behind Muirhead. The referee, Callum Scott, just entering the centre circle now as the Celtic fans huddle under the lights here in the east end of Glasgow. The Hoops have won the last 10 meetings between these two sides. That last encounter between the two was one of Wilfried Nancy's few positive moments in the job. A 4-2 win in West Lothian all the goals coming in the first half. Hopefully, we see similar entertainment tonight, Andrew. That's Celtic done. Their huddle now, stepping into the centre circle. Kick-off coming right up.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. A couple of other games at 7:45 should be good as well. Kilmarnock against St Mirren is a big one at the bottom as well. Stephen Robinson saying yesterday that he feels essentially it's key that St Mirren just don't lose at Rugby Park just because of the points difference between the teams. He says as long as they don't lose and then they can try and move up the table from there. Do you see that logic?
Yeah, I have 6 points currently, and if obviously it would be no... can I catch up from them? But I think if Kilmarnock could win that, it obviously drags Dundee and St Mirren into the mix, so that could be a big 3 points for them.
Yeah, I agree with Al. I think if St Mirren win this, the goal difference at the moment's 11 ahead of Kilmarnock. I think they're probably potentially 1 foot in the door of safety, and I think it kind of kills Kilmarnock a little bit. However, if Kelly win this, they're right back in the mix. I think Neil McCann's went and got a reaction. I think you can see it with the Aberdeen game, and I think they'll win games along the way because, by all accounts, he's a decent coach and he seems to motivate them.
Just looking at the starting lineups, interested to see how Kilmarnock shape up. I'm assuming it's going to have to be one of the midfielders at fullback because it's Kelleherus in goal, Shuna Larsing, Shelter Brown, Robbie Dees, and one of Liam Polworth, possibly. Not really sure, no. Because you've got Polworth, Lyons, Watson, Curtis, Kelty, John Jules and Anderson
Lyons,
all
maybe?
In there. So maybe Brad Lyons potentially
Lyons,
going in at fullback. And then for St Mirren, George in goal, Fraser King, Freckleton as the three at the back, Richardson and Declan John as the wing-backs, Phillips, Devaney, Gogic, the midfield three, Mandron and Idowu in the middle of the park. As I say, it is underway. In that game, it's underway at Celtic Park, underway between Falkirk and Dundee. Corner to Celtic already. It is Tenekte that's playing on the right wing. Dyson Maida out on the left is the selection for today. Falkirk against Dundee, good opportunity, yes. You'd think, for Falkirk just to try and
cement,
pull even further away in that top six from the bottom six.
Yeah, I think they've been absolutely outstanding, Andrew. The way they play, the brand of football, they made it tough work of it in the cup, but it was all about getting through for them on Sunday evening. But I think over the piece, I think they've been the surprise package. I think John McGlynn's done an incredible job there, you know, back-to-back promotions. And if he can get them into that top half of the table and cement that, I think that would be a manager of the season stuff.
Yeah, Falkirk have surprised a lot of people. I think Stephen Presley has as well, written off by a lot of people at the start of the season. We saw how well they performed at Celtic Park at the weekend there. They've had some good results recently, and we'll be hoping that they can get a result and get themselves as far away from that bottom two as possible.
Yeah, I've seen everybody tipping Stephen Presley to be the first manager to get sacked at the start of the season, and he's outlasted quite a few, and they seem to be playing a decent brand of football. They done well at the weekend against Celtic. They were very unlucky. And I think he's signed quite a few attacking players. I think Scott Wright coming in will give them a lot of pace on one side. And no, I think he seems to be all right. I think he done all right at Coventry when he was there as well. I don't think he's a... And obviously he had a job at Brentford for many years, so I don't think he's a fool when it comes to football. He obviously had a great playing career as well. So no, I think he'll be totally fine. And I think Dundee have probably punched above their weight in terms of what people expected from them this season. And I think they're probably a wee bit unfortunate not to have a few more points.
Yeah, Celtic had the first corner of the game between Celtic and Livingston. That one was cleared by Livingston, so no danger there. An early chance for Falkirk, though, between Falkirk and Dundee, but that one goes just wide. So John McGlynn's side will be hoping that they can start quickly there. Especially that'll be something that the Celtic supporters that have made their way to the ground tonight will be hoping, that, you know, against the bottom of the table, that you can make that quick start. As Cal McGregor has an effort from the edge of the box saved.
Yeah, listen, I think the one thing about Celtic is they try and overwhelm teams, you know, it's wave after wave after wave. The speed of the play is impressive. Whenever there's a set play, it's down and play. They've got multi-ball, they're always trying to catch teams out. And they do it time after time. And, you know, if they get an early goal here, they could open the floodgates.
We'll keep you updated on exactly what is happening between Celtic and Livingston for the first few minutes of that game. So Gordon DL was on the show last night, and he always says this: oh, I'm going along to Fir Park tomorrow, yet no one ever sees him at Fir Park. However,
He's been spotted.
He's been posting up evidence on Instagram tonight that he is at Fir Park, as you can see on the screen behind us if you're watching the live stream. He's not even looking at the camera. He posted that himself, by the way. He chose to post that photo, and he's not even looking at the camera. He's looking at the person that's taking the photo. And I'm assuming he's taking that before the game started, because he knows that within, 20 minutes, he'll be sitting in his living room with his feet up, because there's no chance he's staying for the full 90 minutes.
No, that's not a chance. He's a Subway loyal, if I've ever seen one. But it's good to see him out at a game for a change.
I know. He's normally lying about it, but there we go. We've got some sort of evidence that he's there, but still incapable of looking directly down the camera lens for some reason. Right, I think we should be able to go to Fir Park to get the final bit of build-up between Motherwell and Rangers with Alison McConnell.
Yeah, how are you? We're just coming closer to kick-off atmosphere building at Fir Park. They've been out and just forking the pitch just now. It does look pretty heavy with the rain that we've had pretty much incessantly all day here in Lanarkshire, but yeah, the atmosphere is definitely building towards kickoff and a real air of expectancy around Fir Park. This is actually first game this month for Motherwell because of call-offs and adverse weather, so we'll see whether that is a help or a hindrance and whether they go into this one a bit fresher this evening against Rangers, with obviously Celtic kicking off 15 minutes earlier over at Celtic Park against Livingston. These Rangers fans that have travelled in their numbers will know what's going on in the east end of Glasgow this evening, and that maybe just adds another little layer of pressure. I think it's a big test for Rangers tonight in terms of how they handle that pressure. They maybe want to come out, get a fast start tonight. I think they were disappointed on the back of that showing at Easter Road a couple of weeks back, and certainly they want to come out here and show that this is a team who are very capable of going and challenging for a title. It is a definitive 4-day period for them in terms of what comes this evening and then of course what comes against Hearts on Sunday afternoon at Ibrox. For Motherwell though, we have seen enough of them this season to know exactly what they're capable of. They've already beaten Celtic here. They're certainly going to have a significant say in this title race. So if you want, we'll just take a quick run again through the teams. Bertolaskow, I would say it's probably a team that looks very, very close to his strongest starting 11, the strongest hand that he's got. I think there's three changes to the team that beat Livingston just at the end of January. Obviously, Stephen Welsh comes back in after he came back on his loan spell from Celtic. Elliot Watt is also back in, and Emmanuel Longello come in at left back, with Tom Sparrow, Oscar Priestman and Johnny Koutroumbas all ruled out. So just run through it with Callum Morden, goal, Stephen O'Donnell, Paul McGinn, Stephen Welsh, Emmanuel Longello, Elliot Watt and Lucas Fadinger just that middle two, and then in front of them Ibrahim Saeed, Elijah Just, Callum Slattery and Tawanda Maswanhisse. On the bench for Motherwell tonight, Conley, Gordon, McGee, Sparrow, Bjørnfjordsen, Nicholson, Priestman, Ross and Chadwick Cook. Have a look at Rangers. I think just three players remaining from that Sunday Scottish Cup win over Queen's Park. So Jack Butland, James Tavernier, John Suter, Nasser Giga, Jaden Nkoma, Toshi Chukwana, Nico Raskin, Mohamed Diamandé, Jiri Gassama, Mikey Moore and Yusuf Shermiti. And on the bench it's Kelly Fernandez, Romans Sterling, Asgard, Antman, Scott Olsen, Nadiri and Majovski. And the referee tonight here at Fir Park is Stephen McLean.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. While Alison was speaking, there was a big chance at Celtic Park. Chvancharyl one-on-one with Jerome Prier, but just didn't get the finish right. I think just tried to side-foot it by the sounds of things. Maybe could have lifted it over the goalkeeper. There was a Dyson Maeda volley before that. So Celtic really starting to, you know, put the pressure on Livingston early on.
Yeah, you have to say the goalkeeper has done ever so well. By all accounts, he's put off a couple of really important saves. So it keeps him 0-0 with about 7 or 8 minutes in.
However, Stevie May has just tested Kasper Schmeichel, so a chance at the other end for Livingston. There were a couple of chances elsewhere. In fact, there is an early goal for St Mirren. So St Mirren have taken the lead away to Kilmarnock. But we need to finish off this teaser, thanks to our new sponsor, Arcaplan Glasgow, for sponsoring the teaser. The full-time teaser. Can you name the 8 players to score in an Old Firm game while on loan since 2021? You have Mikey Moore, Abdallah Sima, you have Jota, Cameron Carter-Vickers and El Yunusi. 3 more to go. One from Rangers.
Kent too early.
Kent's too early. Yes.
Nah, good shout.
One from Rangers, two from Celtic.
Started in London.
We need some clues, mate. Yeah.
Killian Phillips it was with that goal from for St Mirren. For Rangers, he was a big January deadline day signing.
Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey is correct. Sure. For Celtic, a guy that came in on loan, he was another January loan signing, had a brilliant loan spell before signing permanently, was only there for a season, £9 million. Striker.
Ida.
Adam Ida is correct, and the other is still at Celtic. He was one of those that had a loan spell, then was permanent. Paolo Bernardo is correct. There we go. Thank you to Arcaplan Glasgow for sponsoring the full-time teaser. All the reaction to tonight's games will be tomorrow, and it is Callum Gallagher who is up next.